Welcome to Women Amplified's new segment, That's a Good Question, where we feature real listeners and help them solve a problem they're facing at work or in life. Hello, everyone. I'm Celeste Headley, your host. Before we dive in, I wanted to let you know that registration is still open for the virtual Texas, Pennsylvania, and Massachusetts conferences for women. They are on October 2nd, November 10th, and December 2nd. We have all-star lineups, and I'm not kidding. It includes Regina King, Malala, Chloe Zhao, Laverne Cox, Glenn Close, Selma Blair, so many others. You can actually see the entire lineup at conferencesforwomen.org, and you can register there as well. Now let's get started with this first episode of That's a Good Question on Women Amplified. Talking about salary in the workplace is taboo, but it happens. So what do you do when you find out you are chronically underpaid compared to your colleagues who are doing the same job with the same level of experience? In just a minute, we'll talk through this exact scenario to help a real woman from our community figure out her next steps. In addition to our listener guest, we'll be joined by expert Kiana Pierre-Lewis, a senior law lecturer at Bentley University. Kiana is going to share her experiences and her expertise about having difficult conversations with HR and the legal issues of discussing salary, plus some tips for negotiating equal pay. So let's get started. So you wrote to us about your pay. Explain what your question is.
Sure. So I am a regulatory affairs professional for a large biomedical company. I was in a step above an entry-level role at my current company for about 3.5 years, during which time I received really stellar reviews, but very moderate, like cost of living increases. And so I was looking for opportunities to develop myself. So I ended up taking a lateral move to within the same company, and it didn't pan out like I expected. It was actually significantly more responsibility and significantly more challenging, which was welcomed in many ways. But I asked several months after being in this new challenging role, I asked to have a discussion about the next level and how can I perform at that next level? What kind of experiences and training do I need to pursue? And I was told that I was already performing at that next level. So I was promoted, which I was excited about. But when I received the promotion, it came with a percentage increase based on HR policy. And I had a conversation in which I asked if there was a salary band for the role. I presented data from Glassdoor that showed the average salary for that role for the area. And I also there's a salary report that's published annually from a respected professional organization in my field. And I presented that as well. And I highlighted all my qualifications and my master's degree and everything like that. And it kind of really validated the salary that I was asking for, which was about 9 to 10 grand more than what I was offered. And I understood that people with similar qualifications and experience had been given what I was asking for. So I was really surprised that I was met with a lot of resistance to being compensated at the level that I asked for, even having provided all of that data and met at the table with a respectful conversation to request it. Essentially, so I ended up taking what I was offered because that seemed to be what my option was. And it is lower. To significantly lower than colleagues with similar experience and the same role. So now I'm trying to figure out, do I wait for an annual review to see if I'm brought up to an equal level and equal pay? Is my only choice to receive a competing offer and to kind of push the hand towards equal pay? Or is it really time to leave? And is the writing on the wall? You know, there's a lot of lip service that's being done about valuing employees, but when push comes to shove, that might not necessarily be the case.
Well, if your pay is not equivalent to other people in your similar position, it's the question of whether they value some employees more than others, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so too. And I think that was something else that I struggled with kind of personally, mentally and emotionally, because there's a lot of talk about how much we value you and you're one of our top employees and we want to continue to develop you and all of this. And that's really great. But like you said, if you're not willing to pay me equally, then obviously that can't be true.
So how many performance reviews are we talking about? When you talk about getting great performance reviews, how many have there been?
I had 3 in the previous role, and then I'm coming up on 1 year in the current role. But I do check in quarterly, and I do solicit feedback appropriately with my supervisor to ensure that I'm performing at the level that is expected of me. And it sounds like I've been exceeding it the entire time that I've been at the company.
And a cost of living raise is what, like 2%, 2.5%?
Yes, 1-2%. So it was very little movement in the 4 years that I've, well, the 3.5 years that I was in the previous role, it was a very small increase.
And one also assumes everybody else is getting that as well. So it's not lessening the gap between you and others in the same position.
Well, it turns out that's not actually correct. And I kind of discovered that when I was having conversations with colleagues about it, because I, like I said, I had done my research. I determined what I kind of expected to receive at this next level. And I was told that I was valued and appreciated and all of that. So I didn't think to ask if the annual increases that I was receiving was comparable to other people. And it sounds like it may not have been. It sounds like perhaps there was a bucket of money to be allocated, that was maybe at the discretion of managers to allocate to different people. But no, it sounds like what I experienced was not typical compared to colleagues.
So you spoke to your direct supervisor, or did you go to HR?
I went to my direct supervisor, and then my direct supervisor pulled in their director. And so I had a conversation with the both of them as well.
And they expressed no negative or critical feedback about your performance.
That's correct. And I did say that if we felt that I wasn't performing at equal levels, you know, I would like to know, and I would like to have that conversation and figure out what I could work on and what I could do differently. So I know I have that rapport with them, and I did ask to have that conversation if that was the case.
So other than the pay inequity, what do you like about your job?
That's a tough question. I really like the colleagues within the function, within my own function. And then there's some colleagues with whom I have really great working relationships in other functions. But other than that, it can be really tough to find things that I honestly like. It's very challenging. I think I'm the 5th person in the same role in 4 years.
Wow.
And there's like some personalities on cross-functional teams that are really challenging to work with. So I think that's a question I've been asking myself, is even if I were being compensated, you know, at the level that I asked for, what do I like about it?
Yeah, it's a great question. And the other question, of course, is how difficult would it be for you to find a different position?
Yes, and that's something I've been considering as well. I think, unfortunately, in the role that I had before, like I said, it was a step above entry level, and I was kind of a workhorse. So I was happy to work a lot of extra hours and do as much as I possibly could, but I didn't get certain experiences that I really should in my field and that would help me at this next level. So I think that's been the challenge of getting my foot in the door at other companies at this next level, because they look for that experience, understandably. And I'm very capable of it, and I have academic experience, but they're looking for the number of submissions that you've done as a benchmark of your success in the profession.
And you know this because you have applied elsewhere? How do you know that other companies would not feel you are qualified?
It's tough because I'm not a jumper, and I'm not great at kind of tooting my own horn. I'm really great at like supporting and uplifting other colleagues, but when it comes to myself, I'm just really focused on what I'm doing. So I have a hard time, to be honest, talking myself up for these other roles. I have applied for a few other places at the current level that I'm at, and I did receive feedback that they are looking for somebody with submission experience that I don't have. And I understood that. So that was really the only feedback that I've received so far from the jobs to which I've applied.
Are you in your current role doing that? Are you getting experience in that area that you need?
No, not yet. I won't have that until next spring, which is why I'm kind of trying to figure out what my plan and timeline should be.
And this is the field where you want to work?
Yes.
So when you're weighing this and thinking about this to yourself, it sounds to me like there's some competing things going on here. Because number one, you have a job that's not actually developing you in a really timely manner. Like you're not getting experience and training quickly, or even in what I would think would be a rational pace. So there's that issue. There's the issue of the pay, obviously. But there's also the issue that it doesn't sound like you enjoy the job very much, other than some of your colleagues.
It's hard. It panned out a little differently than how it was initially promised. There's less support than I expected, and I'm kind of an island, which is okay. But it was kind of positioned as, oh, this will be an opportunity for you to take one or two developmental projects that are going to be extremely challenging and involved. And it ended up being significantly more than two. So it ended up really being the point person for an entire product line.
Wow.
And everything is accelerated and there's no priorities and it's very challenging. So I think that kind of compounded it where I'm getting different experience, but then not experience that's going to enable me to grow, like you said.
So if they gave you your salary request, if they approved your salary request tomorrow, would you still be weighing whether or not you should stay?
I think you're right. I think on some level I would be. I think had it been addressed during that conversation that I had previously, I think I would have taken it and been happy. But I think how that kind of was handled and what that communicates about actual action to support and retain what they say are valued employees, it makes me question, like, how invested should I be in this role? And should I, maybe I shouldn't be working late nights and maybe I shouldn't be taking on these extra things or doing things outside my lane. And perhaps I really should continue to have the door open and look elsewhere.
So how confident are you that when you go into the next negotiation, whether it be for the raise in pay that you want from your current employer, or let's say you do move on and you need to negotiate your initial salary, how confident are you that you can brag about yourself enough and get the kind of salary number that you need?
I've been working on it. And I think my approach is to present data. So I think I can certainly come up with some data and statistics for the things that I've worked on and the challenges that I've overcome. And I can point to a number of colleagues of equal or up and coming levels that I've encouraged and nurtured and tried to mentor and support. So I think I could certainly provide a case for it. It is challenging having already done that and been told no.
Yeah.
So it's something I just continue to try and build myself up to do in my head, but I don't know how successful I will be.
Have you spoken with any of the other colleagues at your workplace who are earning more than you for essentially the same work?
I have. They incur, not all, but a few select people. And it was very much the consensus that what I was asking for was appropriate and actually modest in comparison to what I would be paid if I were to get a job somewhere else. And it was actually under what other people had been brought in at the same level. So the consensus was that I think there was a lot of surprise that I was told no, and that what I was asking for was reasonable and equal and should have been a slam dunk to retain and bring stability, continued stability to the role that I'm in.
What is your idea on why? If it's the rational thing to do, if it's the right thing to do, why do you think they turned down your salary increase?
I can really only go by what I was told, which was there was an HR policy that 10% was the max increase. And that was what I was offered. And that was what I ended up taking. I don't know that there was, until I disclosed it, and I, like I said, I had a really candid conversation. So I don't know that there was an awareness of what I had been making before I came out and said it and said, this is what I was brought into the company at in the 3.5 years that I was in the previous role. This is what I was brought up to. So I'm concerned that while I appreciate the 10% increase and I understand that's a policy change, my concern is that, you know, if you haven't received increases over your time at the company, that you're going to just perpetually be lower. So I think the HR policy was the rationale that I was given, and also that HR was only looking at the time that I was in my current role. And I did indicate that from an employee standpoint, that's not what you're considering. If you've been at the same company for over 4 years, that's the time frame that you're looking at.
So these were separate meetings. The meeting with your director and your director's supervisor was one meeting, and there were other meetings with HR, right?
I didn't actually meet with HR at the point that I was at it. It seemed like I didn't really have an option and that was the best. What I was offered was what I was going to get. And I was welcome to talk to HR. But considering the stance that had been communicated, my impression when I left that meeting was just to sign the agreement and take it because I'd already, like I said, I had already been told that I had already been performing at that role since I took the job and that I just wanted to, at that point, be paid a little bit more, even for the job that I was already doing. So I didn't talk to HR directly, but I provided all the data and analysis and rationale that to my own supervisor and then the director to support the position and the request.
Now, this is my last question for you, I promise, but I want you to imagine somebody either at this job or another job that you think of as being really sort of assertive and smart and ambitious, and imagine what they would do in this position. What would that person do right now?
I have seen that, and they generally leave. I've seen that, and that's why we've had a lot of turnover. Because if you're somebody that is ambitious and you're not receiving the experience that you're looking for, you're not receiving the development opportunities that you're advocating for, you're not seeing salary increases that you expect based on the field that we work in, that people seem to leave. And I've communicated that I don't think that that's the culture that we're trying to create at the company, that we want to retain and continue to develop talent, especially when you have people that are willing to move across divisions, support different product lines, different functions. Those are people that develop tribal knowledge that's really valuable. We should be looking to continue to develop these people, especially when they're highly motivated and interested in doing so. Is it necessary for me to obtain a competing offer in order to be compensated fairly at my current role? Or is it time to leave? Like, should I wait? Should I wait to see if things are adjusted during my next performance review and then make a decision? Like I said, I'm not a job jumper. I like to really finish projects and to kind of follow the campfire rule, right? Of leaving things better than when you found them. So essentially, I'm just trying to figure out what my path forward should be and what the timeline should be for that.
One of the ways that I sort of help people problem solve is by letting them answer the questions themselves. And I feel like the questions are kind of leading you in a direction that you, for some reason, are not ready to take. In other words, you're asking for help in how to get your salary increase, but it doesn't sound like that even with the salary increase, you're invested at this point.
I think that's a fair question to ask. I am feeling myself having some challenges with starting to disengage, but that really is stuff that started after I had all those conversations and they didn't go well. So that's been very recent that I've started to think that maybe just for my own self that I should really disengage because I'm obviously not valued like they say that I am. But I think that's a fair point to make.
You're listening to Women Amplified's new segment, That's a Good Question. Real people, action-based problem-solving, expert advice. If you enjoy this podcast, share it with other people. That's how we can spread the news to as many people as possible who might get some use from this great advice. Also, remember that registration is now open for the virtual Texas, Pennsylvania, and Massachusetts conferences for women. They are on October 2nd, November 10th, and December 2nd. You can see the full lineup of speakers and register at conferencesforwomen.org. Now let's get back to our conversation. So my suspicion, I mean, number one, you have described people that you admire and think of as strong and ambitious. You say they would leave. You obviously believe the problems go further than salary. But I wonder if you are falling into the gender trap of underselling yourself when you apply for other jobs.
Yeah, I agree. And my husband and I talk about it at home. He'll apply for a job if he meets 60% of the qualifications. Yeah. And I'm looking at the same list and saying, oh, I only meet 85. I'm not qualified for that. Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think that's a really tough thing to shake. I think especially as a millennial as well, we graduated college and it was the Great Recession and you were just grateful to have a job. So I think that's also a pervasive attitude that I'm trying to break. Don't let your gratitude for, you know, a job that got your foot in the door in your industry keep you underpaid from the role that you're currently in.
Do you think it's possible that you are letting those subconscious doubts, are you allowing those to get in the way?
I think to some degree, yes. I think also my gratitude. I'm just a person that's really grateful to have the opportunity to, like, I was grateful to get my foot in the door in this company. And I think that that kind of helped me keep myself where I was. being grateful for what you're given and being hesitant to ask for more. It was a big deal for me to come to the table and say, you know, this is actually my salary expectation and this is why, and this is everything that supports it. Those were hard conversations for me to have, but I felt like they were very valid and that I was clear and deserving of equal pay. And I think that no one would blame me if I left. I think that it would not be good for the role and stability of the product line, but I don't think anyone would be surprised or blame me if I left.
Yeah, so you're taking on all this emotional weight on behalf of this employer who is not returning the favor. You're worried about the stability of the product line when that really should be your managers worrying about that. You're worrying about high turnover. You're worrying about how loyal you will appear when it doesn't sound like your employers are spending any time worrying about those things at all.
Yeah, and that's where I am looking for other opportunities. And then you kind of have to divest yourself, right, from working extra hours and trying to be very successful in your current role. You really have to shift gears and say, okay, no, this extra time per week, I'm going to devote to myself and to doing what I need to do to be prepared to interview at other places and in getting my resume out there. So that's a hard transition to make when you've been so invested in succeeding in your current role.
Yeah, although you have been really, really invested in helping the company succeed. And maybe it's time to help to invest in yourself. And if you're going to take time, maybe this is time to get some online training in other things, to get some credentials and certificates that maybe you need to improve your CV. And maybe it's time to learn how to go into those interviews prepared to say, I can do this role. I have meet at least 60% of the qualifications, and I'm going to rock your world in this position.
I agree. It's a little tough because I'm kind of maxed out. I do have a master's degree in the field and I do have a professional certification. So I'm kind of...
I want you to listen to yourself.
I know.
Want you to listen to yourself. Because you're sitting here telling me I'm extraordinarily well qualified, but earlier you were saying I'm not qualified for these other jobs. I mean, you hear yourself saying that?
I know. It's true. It's that one piece of experience. It's that one piece of practical experience.
Oh, come on.
No, it's true. Okay,
no,
you're reminding
I mean,
me of my husband and I appreciate it so much. Yeah, he's like, no, it doesn't matter. Like, who cares? You can do it. And I'm like, I know I can do it, but I haven't done it. But that's the thing is I think I just need to get my foot in the door somewhere else. And I can absolutely perform and perform well. It's just like you said, yeah, I need to figure out how to talk myself up like I'm able to do and routinely do for other people.
Nope. You do not need another entry-level job. You are years and years past entry-level. You don't need a foot in the door. You need someone to... When you make a commitment to a job, they're not doing you a favor.
You're right. Like I said, I think shaking that mindset of being grateful just to have a job. I was also brought up in a household where someone who said, you know, be worth what they pay you. And I think those are some things to work on and to shake for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I think you have enough experience and training and education. And if your current job can't see that, maybe it's not about changing you.
Maybe that's the solution, is that it's time to leave. And maybe in leaving, it'll be kind of the reset that I need to feel like I'm being compensated at the level that I'm performing, and also then like really have that concrete understanding and belief in myself. Don't just quietly do it in the background, but actually do it and be able to say that, yeah, that's the level that I perform at.
Yeah. I mean, you've been kicking butt.
I have.
For years. For years. And it's time that you be somewhere where it's appreciated. I would never tell anybody, advise someone to leave their job, but that's what you're telling me.
And that's the hard thing, is there's a lot of verbal communication that I'm so appreciated and valued and things like that. And there always has been, which is nice. But when it comes down to it, you want to be paid equally.
Yeah, you deserve to be paid equally. And it's not, you don't know that you're not being paid equally because of their transparency and accountability. You know, because you had to do detective work on top of all the other stuff you're doing.
Yes. And I did communicate to my boss that I just want to be really clear that that was the ask. The ask was for equal pay, and that that was what was declined. And so there's a very clear understanding that that's what I was asking
for. Okay. I want you to repeat back what you just said to me.
Yeah.
You asked for equal pay.
Yes, directly, and was clear that that was the ask, equal pay. HR said that what I asked for was too high, which can't be true if you've already paid other people that. It was a no-brainer. It would have been a slam dunk, I think. I think the people that I talked to all expected it to be a no-brainer decision.
Yeah, and why would they expect that?
Because of who I am and how I perform and the role and the challenges associated.
Because what you're asking for should not even be up for debate.
No, it was a completely valid ask that was backed by multiple references.
When you say because of who I am, that's still part of this mentality that you earn it. It's not about what you earn. You can earn other things, but this is just equal pay.
Yeah, it's hard. It's really shaken my confidence. I'm trying not to feel like I don't deserve it, and that's why I didn't get it.
This is the crux of it. This feeling that your success is something you have to earn. And that is not true. That is not true. Your accomplishments, you can earn, awards you can earn, but equal pay, you get that. That's your right.
It's tough to figure out what to do next. It's been an analysis paralysis for me on this.
Yeah, I can imagine that. So let's say that you get advice that is uncomfortable for you. Are you ready to follow either my advice or more specifically Kiana's advice? Are you ready to take that step?
I think I'm definitely receptive to hearing it. I'm not afraid of hard conversations and tough advice. I do think it's helpful to even hear it from different people, like outside parties, like yourself with expertise. So yeah, I think I'm at a place where I really need to figure out what I'm going to do. If I do wait, what an appropriate time frame should be. But I don't want to wait forever. And I have communicated that to my supervisor that I didn't want to wait forever.
So you just heard from our listener who brought us a very good question indeed. We walked through her challenge. You heard the facts. What should she do? Is it time to ask for that pay raise, equal pay in another way? Or is it time for her to leave? I help others problem solve by letting them answer the questions themselves. Questions that ultimately help lead them in the direction of what to do. And it sounds like she's leaning towards leaving, but perhaps that will change after we have the chance to talk with Kiana Pierre-Lewis, a senior law lecturer at Bentley University. Kiana is here to offer some perspective from her own experiences, as well as share her expertise around having difficult conversations with HR, also the legal issues of discussing salary, and some tips for negotiating equal pay. So let's get back to our conversation and find out what advice Kiana has for our guest. So she's in this position where she's trying to figure out whether it's time to learn how to ask for the pay raise in another way, or it's time to leave. What goes into these kind of decisions? What do you recommend that people consider when they're facing this kind of question?
Well, good question. So it sounds like did the right things. First of all, researching, like when you feel, you know, you get into a position, you realize that they didn't tell you everything, you're doing a lot more, and you have a feeling that the pay may not be equal. Doing your homework is the best, first of all. And also going around and talking to people, which did, because I think, well, I don't know if we know this, but pay secrecy policies are illegal or they're not okay under the National Labor Relations Act. Whereas if your organization said you can't go around and talk to people, if you do, you're going to get fired or demoted or anything like that, that's pretty much not okay. You can bring that to the National Labor Relations Board because that goes against freedom of speech. That goes against concerted effort. Doesn't sound like they did that, which is excellent. I mean, you were able to gather the data from people you work with, but also I'm hoping outside sources, which is not always helpful because with Equal Pay Act, it has to be so similar and what you do and all that, but you can gather enough data. The other thing that I'm not sure was done, but is also important, is really figuring out what you think you want. So if they come back with the resounding no that you receive, what am I going to do? Am I okay with working this hard and this much without getting some sort of increase? Do I think that they're actually paying my value? So this kind of goes into that values-driven thing, like what are your goals? What do you want to do? Are you okay with doing that? Are you just going to, do you want to stick it out a year? So it really takes some planning on if it's a no, What are you going to do? Are you 6 months, a year? Are you just going to say, forget it, I tried? So all that goes into it. I think about half of it, but I don't know, not expecting the no or not. Now stuck at the second half. Like, now what am I going to do?
Thank you for validating that I did the correct thing and doing my research and talking to people and then having candid conversations. I really appreciate that. I have been asking myself, am I okay with this? And it is a no. The challenges and the frustrations are too significant to not be paid equally for experiencing them. You're correct. I'm stuck at that second half of what am I going to do and what's the timeline in which I'm going to do it.
So first of all, let me just tell you this. This is not even legal or whatever. I've been in the situation, been in this exact situation. And my resounding was kind of what anyone does. Maybe I'll just work harder and see if they see that and maybe pay more. And that was a no. That was also a no. And in my situation, they gave me half of my pay equity and I was getting paid well under what I should have been and doing more than anybody in my department, getting paid one. So they gave me half. And then I had to figure out, am I okay with this? And it was a resounding no. So I set out a plan. I gave myself a year. And I always tell anybody this. I would never just suggest, because I don't know people's, where you're at, finances, your family situation, your personal situation. So I would never say, you go write it in and say, I'm out, right? So that takes some planning. You know, that may take some saving. That takes you looking around maybe at a comparable job or maybe not even a comparable job if you don't like this job, but it takes some planning. So I think your next step is how long you're willing to do this. Start planning, start saving if you can. Start looking, building your portfolio, talking to other people, really building that network. Network around this area is important. And then if it's a no, and you can go back to them and say, all right, again, I've done the data. I'm looking at this and you're really paying me less and it's not equal. And I don't think it's right. I'm going to ask again, are you going to adjust my pay? And if it's no, then you can give your resignation then. And that is hard. I'm not saying this, that it's easy, but that is what I would recommend if it's a no.
So the other thing, Kiana, she's applying for other jobs, but there's one specific piece of practical experience that she feels is holding her back from getting a job in the field. And I wonder what your response is to that. I pointed out to her that women are way more likely to not apply for jobs saying I'm not qualified unless they meet every single qualification that's listed, whereas men are like, I can do that. What do you think?
Oh, Celeste, you hit it the nail on the head. Yes. Women constantly are like, if I don't tick off every last one of them, if I don't work 10 times harder, I'm not going to apply. Whereas men do not do that. They will show other strengths in other areas and maybe sometimes cite that they have a weakness, sometimes don't even do that, but may cite that they have a weakness and say, but I can do this and I can learn. If it is one practical area, nobody, and I've been on both ends of applying for jobs and reading applications, I've never received an application where everybody ticked it off. But can I tell you the cover letters you will read and they believe, especially the males, that I can do this. I am an asset for you. And that's how you have to come across. It is up to you if you really feel like it depends. If it's recommended, you know, on some job application, they say it's recommended or preferred. You can sometimes cite that flaw and do it in a way that it's not actually, but you can cite the flaw and then just say, but I have this, this, this. You have the experience and you have to put that in your mind and take away everything that you may not think you can have. You can do the job, especially if you're doing it now for not the pay that you deserve. You can do it or you can learn it. And you will probably put in that work to learn it because women, we also feel like we have to work harder to show our worth, to show that we deserve this pay. So I would just go forward. I would not. A friend of mine said to me once, what's the worst that can happen when you apply for a job? You get a no. Well, you know that, right? That's the worst. So I would just apply.
Are there tips you can give, not just to our guests, but also to anyone in this position for getting equal pay, period? Whether it's in the job that she's currently in, or as she goes to take a new job, how is she best set up to get the same pay as everyone else in that position?
Excellent question. Negotiations. Okay, again, women don't tend to negotiate, which is why, again, women get paid 82 cents for every dollar men in the United States. That's a gap of 18%. Just not always negotiating, feeling excited and happy that they received the job. No, you go in with your number, your base number. Always three numbers, your base, your mid, and your top. Okay, your top might be what I'm grasping for, what I want. Your middle is probably along the line of what you want. And that bottom is you will take nothing less. But with that said, this is the hard part. You have to be willing to say, no, thank you. Okay. And that can be hard, specifically if you're not working or in a situation where you want out. You know what I mean? If you want out, you're like, I just want to find a job and get out. But you can't let yourself to get into that. Know your worth. And regardless of that, you feel like you're missing a piece, you know your worth and you know what you're going to bring to any institution. And you have to keep that in mind and be okay with saying no. Because I know I've done my research and I know that either you as an organization have paid this amount for this, or I know that other organizations that are comparable have paid this amount for this. So this is my bottom line, because they're always going to give you a number and hope you say no, but they have wiggle room within that number. So first of all, negotiation, but again, do your homework. You know what I mean? Know what they're likely paying, which right now organizations tend to give you a range and they probably mean that range. So look the range up. Go do your homework and then do your three numbers. Don't go anything lower than that base number that you have. But you have to be willing to negotiate and be willing to say, I know what I deserve.
Are there legal repercussions for asking for equal pay? In other words, are there boxes that one needs to check if one plans to make it a legal argument?
Yeah, excellent. So a couple not on the employee or potential employee side. So the one thing you should know, negotiating salary does not give them a right to reject or pull away the offer that they're making. Usually they make you an offer, right? And then they say, this is the salary range, or this is the salary we're giving you. At that point, you know that they're giving you the job. And if you say, no, can we negotiate? They cannot pull it based on that. And if they do, that is employment discrimination or something is going on. You can go back at that. So the only thing that I would say is on that, it may be you saying no, but they can't reject you at that point. If you are like, no, I don't like the salary and you're willing to negotiate, they can't just say, I'm not willing to negotiate and we're rejecting you. No, they have to say, this is our bottom line. And if you reject it, then that's fine. So that's first of all. Second of all, equal pay is a law, right? There are some issues with equal pay that, and then this is anything with the law, is one, just figuring out, does it fall in that box? Right? Do you even fall? And that is, it is so particular on similar job in similar industry in similar organization. But even when it's similar organizations, they're looking at similar organizations within probably the same state or area, because we know the cost of living varies. So you can't say, I know somebody in New York makes this and that. They're going to say, that doesn't go with the equal pay. So it's really more narrow than most people think. So again, it's the similar job in a similar situation, probably similar area. And you can look at comparable jobs at other institutions. And I would only say that would work as far as, well, this is what your competitor is doing. But again, it's really based on that organization and what they're paying people in your similar job, if there is such a thing.
I really appreciate your advice to give yourself a timeline and create a plan, especially to go into negotiations with base, mid, and top salary numbers and be willing to walk away and say no. I think I've definitely learned this. I think what I didn't realize at the time that I was trying to negotiate the raise that came with the promotion, I waited to sign off on it until I had a discussion with my manager and then our director, but I didn't really realize that I could continue to hold off on that kind of indefinitely. I did feel some like I needed to move on it in a reasonable timeline or else I was just going to continue to be paid at the same rate. So that was a good thing to learn. I just really appreciate your advice and your suggestions. Some really good feedback today.
We always think about pay as our check at the end of the day. But also there are times too, and this is if you don't think you want to leave the organization, you like it, but you know what you deserve, benefits. Ask for certain benefits. That could be stock options. That could be, hey, then you pay my, well, medical is a lot of money. You pay my medical. There are other things that you can also look for that may equal it out, but you have to go figure that out and maybe crunch some numbers. But sometimes we get locked into salary or hourly or whatever it may be for whatever you're in, but also think about negotiating benefits too. So, okay, if you won't raise my salary by 10,000 or whatever it may be, then maybe you will throw in this or throw in extra vacation or do it all, sick pay or whatever it may be. Think outside the box.
Such good advice. Thank you so much, Kiana, for joining us, for sharing your expertise and your perspective. I really think we've given our guests a lot to think about, and hopefully our listeners as well. I'm sure many of you are facing similar challenges. I also want to thank our guest for participating and for your willingness to put yourself out there. We know that's not easy, so thank you so much. I hope that Kiana and I were able to help you determine your next step, and I really look forward to reconnecting soon and finding out what's happened. Check in on your journey. We hope you enjoyed this first episode of That's a Good Question. Tune in next month. We'll tackle another challenge from a listener just like you. If you have a problem we can help with, head over to conferencesforwomen.org/podcast and tell us all about it. If you enjoy Women Amplified, please help us spread the word. Ratings, reviews, personal recommendations, they all help bring us inspiration, advice to a wider audience. And who couldn't use a little bit of advice right now? All of us are probably making decisions and we could use some extra context. Don't forget, registration is now open for the virtual Texas, Pennsylvania, and Massachusetts conferences for women on October 2nd, November 10th, and December 2nd. The incredible lineup of speakers includes Malala, Glenn Close, Laverne Cox, Regina King, Chloe Zhao, Selma Blair. That's just naming a few of them. It really is an incredible lineup. You can see the entire lineup and register at conferencesforwomen.org. Thank you so much for listening. Be kind and be well.